Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
Hi, I'm Susanna.
And this week we've watched Remember Me, and now we're going to argue about whether it's going to make us quit Star Trek.
I had a good time. It was reminding me of my current place in life as a Twitter user under Elon Musk. So,
Will
loved
Twitter exist when this podcast comes out? I say yes. I argue yes, because if it doesn't exist, I don't know how we're going to run the podcast. We haven't had that conversation yet. I am determined we will get to episode 100, so at least if, the four people who know us in real life are still listening at that point, good for you. Don't be
This is
surprised.
going to degenerate a lot more before it finally breaks down. We have time.
Anyway, let's not get too far off topic. Personally, I like this episode. I think it's a good demonstration of the TNG ethos in the sense that, actually, the Star Trek ethos in the sense that somebody came and stage when people keep disappearing and nobody remembers who they are. And instead of going, you're mental, they went, okay, let's figure this one out.
Yeah,
Did they?
they did try. I mean, they when she first came, said, this person has disappeared. They did say, okay, well, that's, even though, O'Brien said he never saw him, and they still continue to try and find him. So, I mean, that's good on them. They believe Crusher, so
But when it
yeah.
got down to like one guy, when it's just Picard and Beverly, he seemed even more incredulous than any previous account that that a ship of 1,000 people only had two of them on it. He was like, no, of course it's just the two of us. How does that make sense?
Is it well? The whole point, Olivia, is that it doesn't make sense, but because it's the rules of the universe say it makes
He
sense.
believed them when it was a more normal ratio, is what I'm saying.
I don't know,
But
plot
anyway.
reasons. They kind of needed to stop believing her so she can, so Gates McFadden can act. And does Gates McFadden act in this episode? Yes,
Hell yeah.
constantly. She's amazing.
Okay.
I think she's great.
I'm glad that they gave her something to do. It was weird that it was like sort of clinging to furniture, but that's okay.
I felt like when we were in Beverly's world or universe, or the characters around her were not as strong as they usually are. I felt like they were sort of like a weaker version of themselves. I don't know if it's because we were in Beverly's, universe in her mind, and so I don't think they put forth a lot of strength as characters. I think they were stronger when we were back on the real Enterprise, back on trying to figure out how Wesley can once again save the day. Their characters were stronger. I felt like Picard was stronger. I felt like the characters were different from one her perspective on her sort of universe, her thought, and the way they acted on the regular Enterprise. They were just different, I felt. I'm not a huge, I know a lot of people won't agree with me, I'm not a huge Beverly Crusher fan.
No.
So the fact that the whole episode was basically about her, originally I wasn't crazy about it. But in rewatching, I could see,
I like
it's
when I get to
considered
see
one
that perfect swoop of hair. She's great. That was really condescending, actually. I'm so sorry. That's the most sexist thing I've ever said. I love seeing that very accomplished doctor, that swoop of hair.
I
No,
mean,
I think it's
I'm just keep going. I don't care.
I think it's funnier to think that Beverly just has such a low estimation of everyone else. They just came out kind of weak in her mind.
Oh God, that's mean. That's terrible.
Okay, go off, Queen.
That's oh.
She's always having to put up with everyone's shit.
And also, it took her forever to figure things out.
Yeah.
I mean, she had there were like clues constantly being thrown at her, and she just did not get it. I mean, obviously, if she had gotten it early on, that was the end of the episode, right?
I probably wouldn't have got it. I didn't get it the entire episode. Sometimes halfway through, this gray man shows up, and I'm supposed to just accept that.
Olivia, the grey men should do grey men not show up randomly when you're doing things? That happens to me all the time. I'm just cooking and a man shows up calling himself a traveler and tells me I have special powers and I have to save my mum. My mum is sitting across the room and I'm like, what are you doing here? That happens to me all the time.
The life, the casual life.
Yeah, everybody's got a grey man who says you're special. Oh god, no, that sounded really groovy.
Grey matters, okay.
Let's Why change are we the both cancelling ourselves in the first 5 minutes of this?
Let's change the subject. Susanna, when was the first time you watched Star Trek?
Okay, so the first time I watched Star Trek was in 1966 when it first aired. So I was 11. There was a lot of science fiction on TV at the time. You know, a lot of it silly. You know, it was Lost in Space was a popular around the at that time. My favorite Martian. You know, you probably don't know, but that was another one on TV. And so Star Trek was just the something best. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, as an 11-year-old, I loved the whole sci-fi thing, the going into outer space, meeting aliens. You know, I loved Spock. I had a huge crush on Chekhov. I had a poster of him in my room. I thought he was so cute, you know, groovy, as they say.
I was gonna ask, who do you think was the hottest? And this is
I thought definitely Chekhov. I mean, I thought he was so cute.
I'll allow
so
it.
Cute. Yeah. You know, so yeah, 1966. I watched the whole series. I mean, what was it, 3 years? Yeah, I watched all 3 years of it. It was, you know, it was I think towards the end, I think they had production issues. I guess they didn't have enough money or something. So you could really tell that the episodes towards the end were not as great as the original ones. But
the final episode of TOS is the worst thing I've ever experienced. Well, the thing is,
the final episode of TOS, two important things to know about it. One, it wasn't meant to be the final episode. Two, they found out it was the final episode halfway through. If you watch it, you can see... You can kind of tell
the pain in their
halfway
eyes.
Through that they're just like, oh, fuck.
Right.
And also, William Shatner's kind of goes a bit, gets a bit unhinged because he was going to direct the next episode.
Oh. So and he's having an ego crisis.
I did not know that. You're not allowed. Right.
And it was going to be his, I think it was going to be his first directing credit. And they went, no, you're not. Yeah. But like, there was literally camera, there was footage of them telling the cast the show's cancelled. They're all going like, and then immediately, like, summing themselves up to do the next scene. But, like, Turnabout Intruder is still shit.
Yeah.
It's still shit.
That's the one where they can't believe that there's women captains, right? It's just that great send-off.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Right. Yeah, I don't remember it. But, yeah, so and that was my first experience with the Star Trek, yeah.
Excellent.
All those many years ago.
Was there a moment then sitting in front of a television where you went, oh, this is shit? Or
not as a kid. I think as an 11-year-old, I really gobbled it up. I loved it. I can't say that I saw anything negative other than the fact that I felt like the later, I think even as a kid, I felt like the last episodes were not as great. I mean, I don't think they traveled as much, technically speaking. I don't like the on Earth episodes, you know, when they're, yeah.
When we get to see them in like cute little, well, I was going to say sometimes it's cute little outfits. When they're dressed as gangsters and.
Yeah, they're gangsters and, you know, whatever. Fine. But yeah, those aren't my favorite. But I like the outer space stuff and aliens and stuff like that, not the Earth things. But I didn't quit, you know, so.
Good for you.
I was very excited when it started up again, you know, with the Next Generation. I was really looking forward to it being sort of revived on television. Yeah.
Did it seem revitalized to you? Because honestly, if I had seen the beautiful color spectrum of TOS and then the next decade, they show me like, what is it? Beige sofas, beige walls.
Right.
A bald guy.
It's more good bald people, Olivia.
I would be supremely disappointed.
I thought it was. I thought it was cool. I mean, obviously, a bigger bridge. I mean, I mean, but it made sense because, you know, it's got to be new. I mean, you know, you're going forward. So it made sense to me. I like the uniforms. Yeah. I love the I like having an alien actually on the ship. Worf, the Klingon who did not look like the Klingons from the original series.
I mean, personally, I'm against browning people up, but not any ground. I just think it looks bad. I don't think it's nothing else really.
It's definitely a save.
That's why I love that episode where they go back to the Enterprise, the old Enterprise, and they see a Klingon, and you know, Worf says, "Don't ask." You know, we don't talk about it.
My favorite, because one of the original plan gags was just to have when they beam off of the Defiant onto K7, Worf no longer has the forehead ridges. It was just going to be Michael Dorn, and they were just never going to comment on it.
Yeah,
just look to camera.
No, they would not even look. They just would have just not acknowledged it. And I think the thing is that's funnier to me, but I feel like it wouldn't have been funny to the writers' room.
Well, the writers' room should get a sense of humor.
Yeah. Speaking of writers' room, this episode very much feels like they needed to. I mean, well, it's not how it actually came to you, but it feels like it needed to remind us that Wesley's a special boy with special powers.
He is a special boy, John. Okay, John already slandered Wesley off the record, and Wesley is just a little guy. Okay, everyone, okay. Hate on him. He's a little baby boy.
I don't know. Yeah,
are you both anti Wesley?
I'm not anti Wesley. He looks cuter when he's in an actual uniform as opposed to the fucking jumper.
Oh,
his
jumper! Oh my god!
No, I fuck the jumper. The bit where he's actually got like, what's the word? He's in the actual uniform. He looks great. That's better. It's like when they put Troy in a uniform. Everyone just looks better. Great.
Listen, if I had Wesley's wardrobe, I would be looking higher. There's a particular like brown jumper with frills that is just absolutely ugly.
I'm so glad we never see any of them again after season one. They're just gone forever. They got burned.
Yeah, he looks. I went back and I watched the first time the Traveler was on the Enterprise. Was it season one?
Yeah,
episode 5.
Where no one has gone before. It's a good episode.
That's a good episode, and I guess that's when the Traveler tells Picard, "You need to mentor him. You know, because he's special." What? You know, he's a special boy. He's like Mozart, you know, and so
I'm starting to understand why you'll hate him, because I don't think I've seen that episode. I skipped a lot of season one of TNG.
Yeah, and then Picard promotes him to active ensign, you know, crusher. But so I'm wondering, I guess, did they know then that, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons, well, actually it ended up being 7 seasons later, Wesley would be joining the Travelers? I mean,
I'm just realizing this.
Yeah, Wesley's a special boy, and they want to have this. There's an interesting idea they want, this like grumpy child hating Picard having to mentor baby space Mozart, who is overtly a Gene Roddenberry stand-in. Mm-hmm. And then the problem is that that's not actually very interesting. So,
to you.
Olivia, is it interesting?
It's cute.
A lot of things are cute. Puppies are cute, but they're not interesting. There's a difference.
I'm just rooting for him, okay?
You shouldn't.
I mean, he himself has pointed out that he felt like, well, while Roddenberry was there, he had better... You know, there were better scripts for him. They had better roles that after Roddenberry left, weren't as, you know. So in the first season, there's a lot of Wesley, you know, he saves the day a number of times, you know, and then suddenly it's sort of, it's not as much later on.
So basically, Gene's narcissism gave him a brief good run.
It's very interesting. But I'm not, yeah, so... I don't know, this whole Traveler thing and Wesley being special and then becoming a Traveler, it's just,
I didn't
For
know
me, it's
that
like a...
Wesley was basically ordained as a special little boy. That kind of ruins it.
Did you not? He was ordained as a special little boy by the writers. And then he's also ordained by the special little boy as a special little boy by the Traveler in Where No Man Has Gone Before, which is, as I said, a very good episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to Remember Me, which is a crusher episode about mortality that is just is good. It's a great Gates McFadden acting right from the start. You know, she beams on with her mentor, with an old man who's retiring, and his character is he's old.
Did I just lose track of him, or do we just not see him again?
No, we don't see him again.
We never see him again.
What a guy.
He disappears completely, you know. Yeah.
They no longer give a shit about him. He's still in the dream.
Yeah. He's just gone. Yeah. And then she starts from, you know, thinking about, I guess, her husband's death, and, you know, and then she immediately wants to go see Wesley because she's being nostalgic, and, you know, and I guess that's her last thought before the bubble swallows her up with people who have gone. And
then what? Like, what happens?
Wesley is experimenting.
Yeah, and he creates a warp bubble, and then people start disappearing, and everybody's like, oh, this is bad. We can't find this person, and none of us remember him, and there's no record of him existing, but we're going to trust you on this because we like you.
Wait, did Wesley create the warp bubble because Geordi was rushing him?
Well, no, that's so funny. I think it was always going to happen.
I'm going to blame Geordi.
Well, it's so funny because Geordi is mad at him. He says, we're taking too long.
Yeah,
you know,
he's so rude.
You know, I want my warp engines back. But then later on, when they're talking to Picard about what happened, he says, we were experimenting with the...
Yeah, he just foists the blame on Geordi. Good for him. Good for him.
As he should. Yeah. He's still a kid. It's fine. Yeah. The boss should take responsibility for all that. So who's the first guy to go missing? The first guy to go missing is the oldie guy. No one really cares, but they're like, we respect
you,
so we're going to look into it. Oh, all the doctors, and she's the only doctor aboard the ship of...
Right.
It then is. Does it already reduce to 250?
It's only 230. Like, it just, like, drops massively.
Ugh. Right. First there's a drop of something, and then when she goes back to talk about... To talk about it, then there's even more people missing. Yeah, and then she—that's when Data says, "Is that the wrong number? Is that the not the right number?" And he says, "In a such a big ship, how can we possibly only have 200 something personnel?"
Honestly, I didn't know
billion
that there was.
Twitter. What do you mean? There's only 10 users?
Yeah,
I didn't realize that the ship had 1,000 people on it.
It's been stated on several occasions.
It's too many, John. It's gross. I was airlock at least half of them.
An aircraft carrier, which is small, much smaller than that, has somewhere between 1,000 and 3,000 people on it.
No wonder people are bringing their kids on these missions. You're letting anyone go in. It's like a Butlins in there. There's just too much going on.
That's a reference for people under the age of 50 internationally. A Butlins. If you aren't English and from the 1970s, let us know if you know what a Butlins is.
Well, it's what they deserve.
What? Carry on film.
The denigration of a Butlins reference.
Okay, fuck Butlins. I've been to Butlins once and I never want to go again.
When do we start getting the glorious flashes of light, which are basically the alien half the time in Star Trek? Although at least the issue half the time.
Now, because she's alone in sick bay, and then there's a big flash. There's a fucking portal or something.
Well, there's one time when they are trying to get her, and so they're trying to create a bubble to try and get her back, but she has no idea what's going on, and so she, you know, and so they try to Geordi, I think, goes, because it happens in sick bay, so Geordi goes to sick bay to try and see, but there's no evidence of anything having happened in there, no idea what she's talking about. And then I think that's when she says something about Worf, and then they say, "What? Who's that? Who are you talking about?"
You know what? That's a good universe. We know it's a good universe. There's no fucking Worf.
I knew. I was like, let's just leave it then. Is it fine?
Worf who?
Yeah.
perfect.
Sorry, Wolf.
No, sorry, Wolf. No, sorry.
He might Piss be off. Lovable. Yeah, the in big Picard guy. The
big. I love how she describes him: the big guy who never smiles. But
she's so
that's all you have to say about him.
She could have been so much harsher, and you know that fucking prick over there who stands over us. See, she's a good person. It is disconcerting to see the numbers drop.
And then Will Riker disappears.
Oh yeah, that's a true tragedy.
Yeah,
they're just all gone.
I love it when Picard says there's no evidence of a Will Riker ever being on the ship. And then meanwhile, I said, when did he have time to even look for a Will Riker? She just told him that there was a Will Riker. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's nitpicking.
I was gonna make a joke and then I was like, this is Susie's mother, Olivia.
Oh, you can make a joke, okay.
No, I was just like, there's no evidence of Will Riker. Like, what was missing? Like his sex toy collection.
Yeah.
How do they know? Okay. Susie, I'm so sorry. I'd like to apologize directly to you.
I don't have any alcohol within reach. It's in downstairs.
John doesn't have a can to open, and I think I ruined his life. That's okay. I just want to know why they knew so quickly the evidence was gone.
You know what I'm going
to... Right, that's what I thought. Yeah, go ahead, John.
Non-secretary complete. You know what I'm going to miss most if Twitter dies? The Will Riker Googling account. It's just great. It's just like, let's see. Let's have a look at Will Riker Googling. Hold on. Will Riker, where is
it? What's he been up to lately?
Riker, directing? Leverage?
Yeah, Riker Googling. What's he Googling? Let's see. Vulcan baby won't stop debating. How
things
does
that the smell like musk.
Handle emoji? How much coffee lethal for human? does Elkars have mice minesweeper? Holodeck games without in-app purchases. Classic. Oh, who is captain of Starship Boaty McBoatface? Can Dick Dick energy be converted into matter?
I was waiting for that one to be read. Thank you.
Triple that recipes, one... low carb.
What could you buy with $8? Oh, right.
Does relativity at warp speed delay Snapchat image deletion?
I love it.
Oh, is Miss Piggy single?
Oh, God.
Why? You know what? No, that makes sense. Sorry, Riker.
You is out of your discerning. Vulcan mind offensive? Yeah.
Yes, it's very problematic. And we should cancel.
Inappropriate.
Bones should be over, if we're being honest. That can be a whole episode.
We've done it. We still need to do that. God willing, we will have time.
I just read so much of this episode. Like, this episode's going, we're going for it quite quickly because it's just her pontificating alone and then everyone disappearing. There's not much to sort of pick into.
Yeah, and it's not like she's bad. In fact, Gace McFadden is very good at this pontificating stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the flashes of light are very like theater production.
Yeah, but also like
high school theater production.
She seems a lot more alive.
She's more multidimensional because she actually
seems like they gave her stuff to do. Not bad.
It's not our fault that the writers barely gave the women solo roles or storylines.
Right.
It's our problem, but it's not our fault.
I mean, she tried to work with what they gave her. I mean, you know, there's only so much you can do, you know, pretending to be swallowed into this vortex, you know, flying, hanging onto the chair.
Oh, and let's not forget the greatest line of all time, where it's, what is it? It's, if the universe is... Is there something about the universe being wrong? So I'm right.
Yes.
I mean, we haven't got that yet. Because we have all this universe collapsing stuff, and then we cut back to the normal one where Wesley's about to lose his mum, and then the fucking traveler appears.
Yeah, which is when I start losing hope for the episode, if I'm being honest. Well, only now I'm realizing because I didn't remember season one of TNG. So that's my fault. I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, and that's the thing. I think if they had left the traveler out, you know, and then just Geordi and Crusher trying to figure out with science and math and trying to figure out how to get her out of this, you know, universe that's they've created, or she's created, or this bubble that she's in, which is never really explained, really. But I think it would have been more interesting. I think bringing in the Traveler, and then it's all mystical somehow, how he and Crusher just somehow go in phase in and out and able to, you know, create this bubble that then she can go through.
Yeah, they keep sort of leaning on the whole Gene Roddenberry new human mysticalism and then not doing anything with it.
Which is the classic tale of all Star Trek concepts.
Well, just... and then...
Because he starts saying some like really weird like New Age. I feel like if...
Yeah, you...
It's very TNG appropriated yoga phrases.
I mean, it's just TNG season one nonsense. It's like, it's the same sort of energy as a bit at the end of TMP where it's like, did we just see the birth of new species?
Right.
It's like, it's that same...
Very grand.
It's just a lot of new humanness that should not be in... Just everybody looks at it and goes, we're not doing this again after TNG season one.
Right. And then, yeah, another great line. Well, you said the line, if there's nothing wrong with me, maybe there's something wrong with the universe, is what Beverly says. But then also the Traveler... I love this part because I think it's so funny. After the second attempt, we finally shift the viewpoint from Beverly's Enterprise to the Enterprise where Geordi and Wesley and everybody is trying to save her. And then there's a conversation where Picard asks the Traveler, is she alive? And the Traveler says, as long as she thinks she's alive, she is alive. And then Riker says, what the hell does that mean?
He sounds like a YouTube life coach.
I love that, like, Will Riker spends this whole episode in both universes being thoroughly unhelpful. Being unhelpful and surly and bored and rude.
Because he doesn't know what the hell is going on. I mean, in the first season when they first encounter the Traveler, and that was it, the Kaczynski guy comes up with this nonsense of accelerating warp drive or whatever. He says it's a lot of gobbledygook. He thinks it's nonsense. So I think that I think that that what the Traveler does, I think for him, since it's not really, it's not scientific, it's not, you know, concrete stuff. I think for him, it's just a lot of it's nonsense, you know. So when he says, "What the hell does that mean?" You know, he's like, "I don't understand what you're talking about."
I would be frustrated too.
Yeah,
I sadly have to side with Will Riker. This guy's spouting nonsense. It's like he starts saying, telling Wesley to see past the numbers, and you will know when the time is right. You're absolute scammer.
Exactly. I think that's the part of the episode that for me we could have done without. I think that we didn't need the Traveler, but again, I don't know, I guess they were trying to continue that whole Wesley becoming something bigger than, you know, just being a normal person. He's like going to be eventually this thing.
Wesley, no. Jesus, what's going on? What's the full Wesley backstory?
I think
now
Wesley might be Jesus.
Great, I love that for him. You're doing great, Wesley.
Yeah, doesn't he comes back in Picard, right? Or I haven't watched that episode.
The Traveler?
Wesley as a Traveler.
Oh yeah, in the Picard, the new Picard. Which is he in the finale? I don't know. I don't like to relive Picard. I can't remember what he did. He said hi and stepped out after 5 seconds. I can't remember. That was a very meaningful moment for people who were very entrenched into TNG. And then I was just like, well, that's okay. Fine. That
Whatever. Yeah.
They phase a lot. The phasing is apparently a thing. It's like, it's a very early TNG thing. I'm surprised there wasn't like an early TNG music motif, but no, we just have the dull mid-season TNG music. I miss Ron Jones. But like,
hum a tune, John. Go on.
No, I got so sorry.
No.
But like,
so at least we start getting answers at this point in the episode. Whose name am I trying to think of? Beverly. Beverly starts asking the computer questions about the universe, I guess. And she's like, I'll ask a question that should be impossible to answer.
Right.
So she actually figure out how much time she has left, which is great for us because we can figure out how much time we have left in the episode.
Yes, I love it because, well, the picture that she's looking at, it looks as if she doesn't have a lot of time. I think it's like, you know, it looks like it's really shrinking. But,
I'll just accept that's panic time. Like, I don't even need the details. It's just run.
And then I love it how she quotes The Wizard of Oz. I love that The Wizard of Oz is still even, you know, in the year, whatever, 20, whatever it is.
Wait, what did she say about The Wizard of Oz?
He's going to end up back in Kansas.
Yeah, she says, click my heels together and I'm back in Kansas. Can it be that simple?
Oh, it's a great line. It's a great every Gage McFadden is just so good in this episode of just being like, I'm not losing it. And then when she finally thinks that she's not losing it, it's just, she's so good.
I love it. I mean, I remember when I first watched this episode originally, I thought it was a great episode. I thought, I love the theme, you know, people disappearing and not being remembered, you know, and that's a universal feeling, you know, like what's going to happen when I leave? Are people going to remember me? You know, what do I have to do to lay down some kind of route or something so that people remember me, you know? So I felt like the theme was very good. I thought it's a universal theme, you know, and then people, of course, actually start disappearing, and you know, and it's horrible to think that people are there and she remembers them and no one else does.
Just because there's an earnest moment where she's like, they all deserve better than this. Like, they're the heart of this ship, which is, you know, it's nice to get to that message. We do love them, don't we? Yeah. We all love all of them, including Wesley, John, and Worf.
And Worf. And Deanna. And
Deanna is actually vaguely useful for the two lines she has this episode.
Yeah, she's like
two.
Not the, yeah.
God, I wish my dad is just saying wherever I'm watching TNG, he comes in and goes, I'm sensing plot captain, and then just walks off. He just literally walks in the room and goes, I'm sensing something's happening, captain, and then just looks at me like, and then walks off.
That's,
and
I'm like, bullying.
You've been saying this, you've been doing this for 8 years, Dad. 8 years.
She tried her best.
And she failed.
The classic. Yeah, I really, as much as I found this episode more enjoyable than the average boring TNG episode, I was like, my notes just say, what nonsense is this? Because I really lost faith in towards the end. I was just like, okay, sure. That was mildly entertaining. And then Wesley has his like confidence coach arc, which is, it seems very forced at that point. Where it's just like the part where they're just encouraging Wesley to just
forget the numbers. Just forget feel the math.
Feel the numbers.
Oh, yeah. It's like, feel the math. Like, okay, what the fuck is going on here?
It's just like, who's this episode about? Like,
this whole bit is like, wow, they really tried to do season one of TNG again, and they're not, it's not camp enough anymore. The show is no longer camp enough to get away with just feel the numbers. It's too serious for them to get away with. Wesley's going to feel his way through quantum mechanics. He's like, no.
Right.
Have him tap away and do it that way. You're in the technobabble era. You can't just have him feel the numbers like he's fucking Spock.
The drip down economics of the campness is the greatest tragedy of Star Trek.
If it was TOS, Spock would have mind melded with the computer to get to reopen the bubble. But no, you can't do that. This is TNG. You have to yell something about a subquantum matrix and a transubstantiated server, and then you can fucking do it. You don't feel the numbers. What the fuck? Come on.
And then poor Geordi is just standing there, like looking at him. Is that, you know, what one? But meanwhile, Wesley's like touching things on the screen and buttons and whatever. But apparently, none of that has anything to do with anything because it's all thought.
Yeah, Geordi and Picard just sort of standing there, like, so what time's lunch? Geordi's like, I really need a shit. I can't leave right now. I just have to wait.
Yes. I'm just watching you phase in and out.
Yeah, yes. Like, you can't leave to go to the bathroom in the middle of a, like, meeting. It's like that. It's like I something important might happen.
By the way, did you know that the actor who plays the traveler was up for the role of Data?
That does not surprise me.
When the series first started, he was one of a few who were up for the role of Data, and then of course Brent got it, but he was on he's on the top list.
See, I can't be an actor. I can't miss out on a role like Data and then just have to live my life like that didn't almost happen.
Hey, you know the guy who played O'Connor was up to be Riker, right?
Oh, really?
That would have worked.
Or even better, Troy, Marina Sirtis and Tasha Yar were the finalists for each other's roles.
Oh, right.
Like, wow. Originally, and then basically they put them both in the room. They just literally went, yeah, that's better.
Yeah. I can't see Tasha Yar as being.
I can't see. I can see Marina. I can see Marina Sirtis playing Tasha Yar, but I can't see
security.
The inverse, yeah.
Yeah, I can't see the inverse. I can just about see her doing security. She's got. She can do it.
You think she would have had the gravitas? I don't know. Interesting. That would have been an interesting thing. So we're finally trying to figure out how to get her back, and it's the traveler. Traveler just comes because Wesley thinks about him.
Yeah.
I'm like just now supporting Wesley is like a deific. Like Wesley has connections, right?
Yeah, this is the weird thing when he's like basically he's got special boy powers, and that's just Star Trek.
Beyond nepotism.
I shouldn't be mad because this is also the show where the gods are real and they live in a wormhole.
That's Roddenberry. Wesley was Roddenberry's middle name, right?
Yeah.
Read somewhere.
What? I thought Wesley. Oh, okay. You know what, Gene? I would have done the same if I had the power. You'd have at least 10 characters called some version of Olivia.
The best part, of course, being that there were three different genes working in the original series.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, that must have just been messy.
Oh my god. So they probably had nicknames or something.
Probably just from the tone of how you said the name.
Yeah, how exhausted were you? That's how you can tell whether it was Roddenberry or Coon or Asta.
No, Gene. Ugh.
So yeah. So they phase and Crusher runs through. The universe is now the size of the Enterprise and it's getting smaller.
Right, and she's running through the Enterprise, and everything is disappearing behind her.
That's a fun visual. I like that bit. And then she jumps through, and they do it. They manage to get her to jump as much as they can afford to with the stunts.
And Picard goes straight to her. Meanwhile, and then Wesley collapses.
Oh gosh! Of course, just to show the strength of what he's doing.
Because he's exhausted. Poor boy. Poor yeah. baby. And this is actually Will Wheaton's final season, technically, right?
What?
I mean, he
leaves
back
like four episodes after this.
Yeah. Aww. He goes to the academy, allegedly.
We see like him for like at least 5 seconds later on, though, right? We see him in his academy uniform.
We see him in the academy when that guy dies, or they were doing this funky thing.
Then he comes back when everybody gets addicted to the porn game.
Oh god! Of course, he came back for that.
Yeah. Then he comes then back. When... He comes back for the Native American episode.
The Native Indian, apparently. It's. I'm like, what? That's what they call them. Is Indian? They keep calling them Indian. And he says, "Why don't they call them Native or Native?"
Because it's
Native
the '90s.
Oh, I don't remember that episode. I'm just going to leave it that way. I thought the last time we met muddled with that was TOS.
Yeah. Positives: the Navajo actors in that are actually Navajo. The bad, the negatives, nice. Everything else about that episode.
Yeah.
Well, at least we can give it the code of honor defense. At least some Native Americans were hired that day and they got paid. There we go. All we can say.
That's like a 4 out of 10.
Yay, and then that's Captain. And then that's when Wesley joins the
Traveler and becomes immortal because he's a special boy.
Oh my god! Oh my gosh! It's nuts. Because he's Mozart.
He's fucking Mozart. Mozart is specific.
I just realized we overlooked something that I would never expect John to miss, which is the opening, which is, it's just a really pretty docking scene.
Oh, the Starbase. So nice. Yes, they keep reusing the Starbase footage from 011, oh, the binar one. I can't fucking remember the number.
Yeah. But now it's Starbase 133, and I guess in that one it's Starbase 70 something or whatever. It's different.
But it's the same, it's the thing where they keep reusing the docking footage from Star Trek 3. When the Enterprise leaves the dock, it's the shot of Enterprise escaping space dock from Star Trek 3, except they put the Enterprise D in a weird fucking angle.
Yeah.
And it's not quite cropped right. And it's like, this just looks wrong. This just looks very wrong.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It took away my natural apprehension to watch TNG, which I always have. Sorry, TNG.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I love a space dock. We need... The new ships have not had enough space docks. They just haven't.
Yeah, I like to see the scale of the ship. See, I'm a bit of a ship nerd. Do a ship talk drop for me. I like to see the scale of the ship, and that's all I can say about it.
That's very lovely, dear.
But funny how he beamed aboard instead of traveling on the, walking on the, whatever, walk or...
The walkways are for losers. That's the, obviously what we've learned here, is that who needs a fucking travel later when you've got a fucking transporter? Like, would you walk the length of Heathrow Airport when you could transport to your gate? No,
that's true. Maybe you're get transported.
Well, that reminds me, Olivia, have you been on the new Travelator, the Bank Station yet?
No.
Bank Station has Travelators now. We've been freed from the curse.
Like the length of the entire thing.
Yeah, if you're not a Londoner, please get the next minute.
I need to know exactly where they're
playing. Well, they've done it. You know the long, really long tunnels of Bank?
Yeah.
It's Travelators in them now.
No, that's scary. No, don't like it.
It's faster. Bank Station is usable. We're through from the curse. Okay, we're back, everyone.
Oh. I love it with the first source.
People. Somebody listening to this is like, I must go to Bank Station.
Oh my
now.
Gosh, I didn't even know. Who knew?
They're listening to the podcast as they step onto the Travelator.
Yeah.
It's true. So how does it end? It just ends with a happy reunion. And I don't know why I sound angry about that, but that's it.
Yeah, I think that she comes through the
portal and hugs Picard, and then she hugs Wesley, and Picard just stands there awkwardly.
She asks how many people are on the ship.
1,014.
1,014. He says, oh good, that's the right number.
You know what? I'm feeling very comforted actually by seeing Picard being his normal awkward self, because I watched Macbeth with Patrick Stewart yesterday, and I had to see him being sexual. I don't want to see Jean-Luc being sexual, okay? He was getting it on with Lady Macbeth. It ruined my day.
Oh, no.
Is that the Macbeth where Picard is like an Eastern European dictator? And instead of the duels, they just yell stuff at each other and shoot each other?
I don't know.
Did you not finish it, Olivia?
I did, but what...
He kind of has
a dictator feel, because at the dinner they just sort of have a massive propaganda poster.
That's a dictator, what, Olivia?
Okay.
Did you not notice the bit that all the Soviet allegories and the fact that...
Well, I did post that communist meme, but...
Oh, no.
It's on purpose, Olivia. It's on purpose.
I'll be honest. I skipped to the monologues that I liked. That's the truth.
The duels, instead of fighting, they just yell stuff at each other than fire a pistol.
I skipped the monologues that I like and I have memorized since GCSE. may have missed it. But
Keep this up and take you to Love Actually in concert.
Oh, God. Please, no. Have I seen that film? I have. And
You don't need to. Nothing happens.
Oh, dear.
Colin Firth learns Portuguese. That's basically it.
That seems...
Or is it French? I can't remember. I don't care.
Portuguese.
Anyway, so the episode just kind of ends.
Yeah.
Trivia. Where's the trivia gone? Here we are. So this was originally a subplot for Family. You know, the one where Picard has trauma.
This is too much to be a subplot.
Yeah, exactly. So they made a separate episode. The whole Traveler thing was a last moment thing. You know how bad it was going to be originally? It was going to be a dream sequence. It was going to be a dream sequence.
The whole thing?
Oh, my God.
They were going to be like, I've just had the most terrible dream.
Oh. Because of what? Because of her conversation with that her friend? And then she has a dream about it.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
So they rewrote it and then they rewrote it and dumped the traveler in from this to make it make sense. So Gates of Fan did all her own stunts.
Good for her.
Okay.
She
was a dancer, wasn't she? A choreographer once upon a time?
Yeah. Extremely cursed fact. After she performed the stunt where she was thrown from Data's ops chair, Gates McFadden learned she was pregnant. Like shortly afterwards.
Jesus Christ.
He did all those stunts that learned she was pregnant.
My God.
I mean, yeah, that's, I'm sure it's fine.
Interesting. I guess it was.
Are you ready to hear the Rick Berman point? You hear the Berman view?
I'm always ready for Berman. Yes. Love that guy.
Rick Berman remarked, that was a very interesting high concept episode. I thought it was possibly a little bit overly confusing. You're fooling the audience a little, and I don't like to do that. They were looking at one world when, in fact, we were dealing with parallel universes, and that was potentially confusing. To which I say, fuck you, Rick. The audience are not to be trusted. You should toy with them.
I was like, no, this is like the most reasonable thing he's ever said. And then you just, my expectations are so low for that man. I was just, as soon as it wasn't pure misogynistic drivel, I was ready to accept it.
In Germany, this episode was called The Experiment. I couldn't do it.
The Experiment.
The Experiment. That was nothing.
We are here to perform an experiment.
Oh, God.
Do not fear, Dr. Crusher. We are not all barbarians. Sorry, I apologize to our German listeners for whatever the fuck that was.
We just lost all of our European,
all our German listeners, all of our listeners who watch Hello Alone, all four of them.
Yeah,
I know at least one. Hi, Ryan. Yeah, that's kind of it for the trivia. It's not really deranged enough for some baffling trivia. It's just kind of like they're trying to do a very season one TNG thing in season four, and it didn't quite work.
Yeah, I wish they would have embraced the campness a little bit more, and not even the season one level. They just needed to bring in some kookier stuff going on, and I could accept it if it was truly absurd.
Yeah, it makes sense that the traveler was a last minute addition or something, because it feels that way.
It's like just so they could get a Wesley storyline in, basically. To up Wesley's lines, you have to add something else.
The last Wesley episode before he goes to the academy is pretty good, though. He's in a cave. He shoots a trade union leader. What do you want?
He shoots a trade union leader?
In a cave. It's okay. Fine. It's fine. It's got purpose.
In his Republican era.
It's got the trade union leader's about to bash his head in, so like...
Okay. Self-defense. We'll allow it.
We'll allow union busting in this case only.
Is that the one where he saves Picard? No, that's not the one.
No, that's the one where he saves Picard. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay.
But yeah. Is it bad enough to quit?
What do you mean to quit? What?
To quit the episode? Would this episode make us quit Star Trek?
Oh no. I think it makes you think and wonder. You know. Do they sacrificing science for something silly like a traveler? And you know, it's like you don't even know what the traveler is. What is he exactly?
He's an extra dimensional dude, and that's the best we get.
Yeah, and so literally. I mean, enough to make you wonder. Is this what this is going to be about? Is it, you know? But not, I mean, obviously I didn't quit. I kept watching. I was not disappointed with Star Trek until, I want to say, actually DS9, although a lot of people do like DS9. Wow. That was not my favorite.
Susanna is over, party. I'm sorry. What didn't you like about DS9?
Well, I mean, the DS9, first of all, it doesn't go anywhere at the beginning, you know, and then they finally, they do start traveling, and then you have the Dominion, and you know, and then you have a lot of people characters
The
changing.
best. The
And then
Dominion, that's when it gets lit. The best part. I
we're
remember when
really
I finally
getting
figured out what
another
was
Star
going
Trek
on.
Service Station 9 take.
Oh my gosh, I can't take the DS9. Like, DS9 is a starship I never knew I wanted. I was a TOS girl. I watched everything chronologically, and then I got
Interesting.
to this like stationary setting, and I was like, hell yeah, I'd love to see Garak having lunch every day.
Oh, I had faith with TNG because I liked a lot of the characters, you know. And so I kept on going. I was, you know, but when DS9 came up, which was they were both at one point they were both on at the same time, I think, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just the DS9 just didn't do it for me originally. And so I wasn't 100%. I had to go
Yeah.
back and force myself really to watch it.
What about Voyager?
Voyager was okay. I mean, there's some things about it I don't like. And I'm gonna say
Nothing
this, and
happens. Nothing of
then
consequence
some
happens.
people are gonna hate me, but I'm not a big Janeway fan. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I feel like we've cultivated an environment where we can diss Voyager at this
Okay.
podcast.
Voyager and Picard, very easy run.
I like Seven of Nine. I think she added some interesting stuff to Voyager, but and then Enterprise, forget it.
Where are you on your Enterprise
I'm just
watch?
dying. My Enterprise watch. I haven't continued my Enterprise watch for ages. So sorry. I've been behind. I mean, I've been behind everything. The only one I've been loyal to is Lower Decks
You
right
need to
now.
finish Strange New Worlds.
I
This is
haven't finished
important.
Strange New Worlds.
You
I
need to
haven't
finish
finished
Strange
Strange
New
New Well, you've
Worlds.
got to finish. Yeah. Strange New Worlds gave me faith in the series again,
Hell yeah.
and Prodigy. You know, I like Prodigy as well, although
I
I
know
think
I'm
the
destined to love Strange New Worlds, so I don't feel, you know, that anything's at risk. It's what I want. But I have seen what the Gorn look like, and I'm so annoyed.
Oh.
I wanted the Gorn to be fabulous. But you know what? Maybe it's best that the murdering, very vicious version of the Gorn in Strange New Worlds aren't fashionable. I just really enjoyed the TOS version.
They could be fine. It depends on your definition of fashionable.
I mean, the
Is
ships are
chest
fashionable.
bursting fashionable to you, Olivia?
No, but the ship that like spins around, that's camp. Love it.
That's high camp. That's
I
true.
see that coming for me and I'm like about to die, but I'm like, kind of worth it.
Did we decide whether we were quitting or not?
Oh, okay. So, not this episode. While I think it's a little silly, and I wouldn't quit over it. I still have. I had faith.
Of the
I
heart.
had, you know, it was over. It was season four. They had a lot of prior good episodes. I said, okay, this we'll just, you know, chalk this off to something silly the writers wanted to do. They had nothing better to do. They didn't have to use all the actors all the time. You know, it's a little bit cheap, I think.
Yeah,
But
that's this episode. It's cheap as fucking chips.
So, but would I quit over it? No, I still would. I would have faith that other episodes would be better.
I too will not be quitting. It was fine. It was fine. I there. It didn't break my heart. This is such a healthy relationship I have with Star Trek. It didn't crush my soul, so
Right.
it's fine.
So we're calling that as a win. Olivia,
It's
now
a
it's time for the
win.
more important part.
Are we trip nipping or
We're tripping.
we're trip nipping? Okay. So I don't know if you know about our trip nip scale. Once again, I'd like to apologize to Susie for what I'm about to do. But this is the scale of how cursed an episode is, and it's based on the Enterprise episode Unexpected, in which Trip Tucker gains new nipples because he becomes pregnant. That's the premise there. So he discovers this. So if we're calling the episode 10 trip nips, it's a supremely cursed. We don't want to see this. It's traumatic. One trip nips, not that bad. You can get rid of it. There's cosmetic surgeries.
Right.
So does that scale make any sense?
It's the scale of how utterly baffling, bizarre, and utterly deranged Star Trek can be.
How silly was it?
The presence of Wesley as a special boy and the phasing makes it an immediate five. And then I'm going to go with a five.
My discovery that Wesley is a child, a promised child. I don't even know what Wesley is, but he's chosen. I want to give that a solid five tripnips, even though I love it.
If I'm understanding the scale correctly.
Which, fair enough if you don't.
That's fine. It's just an arbitrary scale. We make it up as we go along. Carry on.
Yes. I would say, you know, I think the episode could have been better. I think it had a potential for more interesting finale. But bringing in the Traveler, I think that was a mistake. I think that the writers could have done better. So I'll give it a five also.
So we have a triplet score of five. How does this compare on the list? It's the same as the Lower Decks opening. It's still better than the Games of the Triskelion.
So it's got off lightly. It's got off fine.
Yeah, it has in terms of how it could have done. It's got off incredibly lightly.
Usually when we give something tripnips, we give them at least a six, I feel like. Otherwise they've got off scot-free. So are we going to do the high art list? I think we need to do the high art list quickly.
What's the high art list, Olivia?
The high art list is another arbitrary element of this show in which I invite the guest to submit an episode to my Hall of Fame, my personal Hall of Fame. It's really based on my subjective opinions, and that you can either win or lose because I am just the arbiter here. I am the judge with no checks and balances. My episodes that I think are high art are Masks from TNG, Spock's Brain from TOS, Arena from TOS. I like the little silly episodes. Let's give it a little bit more fun. Justice from TNG, that's high art. We got to see them in all sorts of positions. That's obviously high art. So knowing that brief background, do you have any episodes you'd like to submit to the High Art Hall of Fame?
Okay, let me think. Well,
There was no prep for this one.
So you got me because now I gotta think of episodes.
That's fine. I need to actually update the high list properly.
Don't know the name of this episode. It's a TNG episode when they're in a loop. And Picard keeps saying, all hands abandon ship, all hands abandon ship. Do you know that episode? They're in a loop.
Cursed.
And they're playing cards.
I'm Googling it. We're doing the research. Cause and effect? Is it cause and effect?
Which one? The time loop episode, yes.
Okay. Do I remember that?
It's the one with Fraser Crane.
Do I remember that still? No. Let me check. I have to be diligent, as this is a very serious and important
scale. What's the name of the episode again, John?
Cause and Effect.
And that is from season...
Season like five, episode 18.
Okay.
Kelsey.
I have the nitpicker's guide to Next Generation.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Whose book is that?
Phil Farrand, or Farrand, F-A-R-R-A-N-D.
Incredible. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I don't remember this guy. He looks incredible.
Oh my gosh, I forgot even that one. Yes.
Yeah, it's Fraser Crane.
Yes.
From the stance of him in that chair alone and not remembering anything about the episode. Yes. the pose, the posture, the great, like, oh my gosh.
Look at the look the first officer's giving him as well.
The belt, ugh. No, this guy runs shit, and I don't know if he's a
Morgan Bateson. He has three lines.
Oh, even better. You know, sometimes quality, it's about quality and not quantity. I aspire to be this man, so yes, this is immediately accepted.
Okay, yeah, I did good. It's one of those episodes that if it's on, I'll watch it. because I like it. I think it's interesting. I love that they have to keep repeating certain scenes, and then little by little each one of them starts realizing that that something's going on.
As long as it's entertaining enough for the loop to be funny, then or not funny necessarily,
it's
but just engaging.
It's not just watch
engaging
the episode,
is
Olivia.
What I meant.
Just watch the episode.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything to plug to our listeners, Susanna? Anything you want them to know about?
No, unfortunately, I don't.
That's fine.
I don't.
That's allowed. You know what?
We can shout out Susie's store. So your daughter Susie's store, Voracious Whimsy, which is...
Oh, yes, Voracious Whimsy, which has a lot of items and...
Has a bunch of Star Trek items. Check that out, guys.
Yes, check it out. She's got mugs and t-shirts and hoodies and from different series, right?
Yeah, different references.
Yes.
Love it.
Follow us on Twitter, so long as it still exists, at Queer Star Trek Pod. Email us at iCoolStarTrek@gmail.com. I will set up a Mastodon. Will I use it? Who knows? Who cares?
Yeah.
When it does, it will be posted on Twitter. More importantly, we have a Discord now.
Oh, God.
Olivia is still fist fighting with her own Discord account, but for the moment, I am in charge. So fear it. There will be...
What's the vibe on there?
The vibe at the moment is immaculate.
Great. Good to know.
If everybody's having fun. We're talking about how much Picard sucks.
Well,
there's Picard hate. There's birthday celebrations. There's a Garrick meme. What's not to love? So hop on the I Quit Star Trek Discord, where we will continue to shitpost our way to 100 episodes or more. You know, I'm terrified that we've got this far too.
It's a miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle. This is the closest episode to our 2-year anniversary. So thank you to everyone who's
Give
been
us
listening
cake.
For 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Woo. I think, was it 8th of November was our first published episode?
Yeah, on Terry's birthday.
On Terry's birthday, Terry was our first ever guest on an episode.
Well,
so
yes, it's...
Poetic.
It's poetic and terrifying.
Fantastic.
Yeah, 87 episodes and still going strong.
And counting.
Woo.
Yeah, it's...
Star Trek, keep being
back. I mean, and you still have many more episodes to go.
Oh,
so that's great.
I need to really just go through Voyager because I'm ready to destroy it. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But until
I'll join you on that one.
Yeah, that's right. I think we all will. We all will. And thank you so much for coming on, Suzanne. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Well, I've had a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm so happy to see, you know, young people nowadays still enjoying Star Trek that started so very long ago, and I was 11 years old, and I love it. I love that we can discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly about the series, and you know, still enjoy it. So
absolutely.
That's fantastic.
It's our pleasure to talk about it. But until next time, everyone. Don't get stuck in a bubble universe. If you're thinking about it, don't. Just don't.
I'd be into it.
Unless you're a traveler.
Unless you're a traveler, which is go on. Fine with your weird hands and your sort of like phasing in and out. But unless you're a traveler, don't. And that includes you, Olivia.
Fine.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.